Under cold white lights and steady hands, I trace the scratch across the strands. A single letter out of place, a quiet thread inside the lake. Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So as you are listening to this right now, there is a microscopic bomb squad just frantically working inside your cells.
Yeah, it's a constant battle, really.
Right, just the simple, everyday act of breathing creates this massive amount of oxidative stress.
Mm.
And that stress is just actively shredding your genetic code.
It's unavoidable, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it creates very specific lesions in your DNA. One of the most notorious ones is a damaged building block called 8-OxyG.
Which is, frankly, a master of molecular disguise. I mean, normally your DNA pairs up very predictably, right? Guanine with cytosine, adenine with thymine.
Classic pairings.
Yeah. But when a guanine gets oxidized into this 8-OxyG form, its shape and its chemical properties change just enough to actually trick your cellular machinery during replication.
It's like it puts on a fake mustache.
Pretty much. It successfully mimics the base thymine. So instead of pairing with the cytosine like it should, the machinery mistakenly inserts an adenine right across from it.
Which sets off a deadly chain reaction. I mean, if that mismatched pairing isn't caught, the next time the cell divides, that temporary error becomes permanently hardwired into your genome.
Yeah, it becomes a GC to TA transversion mutation.
Right, a transversion. Which means the actual instructions for building your proteins are completely altered. And if those specific mutations accumulate in the wrong genes, the results are just devastating. The cell can lose its regulatory brakes, you know, and become cancerous.
But fortunately, your body does come equipped with dedicated microscopic proofreaders.
Mm.
These specialized enzymes that tirelessly hunt down and extract these specific errors before they become permanent.
They are remarkable. But that brings us to a really fascinating mystery. What really happens when the internal communication wire of this microscopic proofreader gets snipped? Like, how can a molecular machine look completely flawless, bind perfectly to its target DNA, and yet be completely dead inside?
It's a huge question. It really forces us to rethink how we understand structure versus function on an atomic level.
Totally. So today we celebrate the work of Carlos H. Trazimena-Arenas, Sheila S. David, Giandres Cisneros, Martin P. Horvath, and their multi-institutional team from UC Davis, UT Dallas, and the University of Utah, who have advanced our understanding of the human MUTYH DNA repair enzyme.
Yeah, and this deep dive is based on their open access article, Structure of Human MUTYH and Functional Profiling of Cancer-Associated Variants Reveal an Allosteric Network Between Its 4FE4S Cluster Cofactor and Active Site Required for DNA Repair.
Quite a title.
It is. It was published in Nature Communications, DOI 10.1038A01467025-58361W on April 16th, 2025.
Okay, let's unpack this. To really appreciate the sheer scale of what this team achieved, we need to look at the specific problem they were tackling. It all comes back to that link between defective DNA repair and cancer.
Right, and that microscopic proofreader we mentioned, the MUTYH enzyme, it's an adenine glycosidase.
Which basically means it's a patrol unit. Its specific job is to scan the DNA, find those improperly placed adenines parked across from the oxidized 8-OxyG lesions, and physically flip the bad adenine out of the DNA helix and cut it off.
Exactly. And when MUTYH fails to do its job, the consequences for the patient are severe. I mean, if your MUTYH enzymes fail, you are left incredibly vulnerable to an inherited condition known as MUTYH-associated polyposis.
Or MAP, right?
Yeah, MAP. It causes multiple colorectal polyps to form. And because the repair mechanism is broken, those polyps rapidly accumulate mutations. That drastically increases the likelihood of colorectal cancer, as well as several other extraintestinal cancers.
Wow, okay, so think of MUTYH as a bomb squad technician diffusing a very specific type of explosive. The technician has hands to physically cut the wire, right? That's the active site of the enzyme, where the chemical scalpel actually severs the mismatched adenine.
Right, the cutting hands.
But researchers analyzing the cancer-associated variants, or CAVs, found in MAP patients, noticed something incredibly strange. Many of the genetic mutations that completely break the enzyme don't happen anywhere near the active site.
No, not at all.
They map to a completely different region near a specific metal cofactor. It's like a tiny cube made of 4 iron and 4 sulfur atoms,
written as a 4FE4S cluster.
And that spatial separation is really the crux of the puzzle. The iron sulfur cluster is located roughly 20 angstroms away from the active site.
20 angstroms.
Yeah. I mean, in our macroscopic world, that sounds minuscule, but in the molecular world of a protein, 20 angstroms is a massive gaping distance. It is literally on the opposite side of the protein structure.
Right. So what does this clump of iron and sulfur sitting on the other side of the machine have to do with the actual wire cutting? If the hands are fine, why does a dent in the technician's backpack stop them from cutting the wire?
It's wild. To answer how this distant iron sulfur cluster affects the active site, the scientists had to actually look inside this microscopic technician.
And doing that required an incredible technical feat.
Oh, absolutely. The team achieved the very first high-resolution X-ray crystal structure of the human MUTYH enzyme bound to DNA, and they resolved it down to 1.9 angstroms.
Which is insane. To put that in perspective, you know, 1.9 angstroms is smaller than the distance between two bonded carbon atoms.
Yeah, it is sharp enough to let you see the precise orientation of individual water molecules. You can literally see the delicate hydrogen bonds holding the entire structure together.
But the really innovative part of this deep dive into the methodology isn't just the camera they used, right?
Yeah.
It's the specific pose they captured.
Exactly.
Because previous models, which were mostly based on mouse proteins, used what's called a product analog. And if I'm understanding this correctly, a product analog is like taking a picture of the enzyme after the job is already finished and the adenine is cut.
Yeah, the enzyme is basically relaxing at that point.
Right. But this team used a transition state analog called 1N, or a Zerubose. Why go through the immense trouble of synthesizing a transition state analog instead of just letting the enzyme finish the job and taking a picture then?
Well, a transition state analog is a brilliant chemical trick. A chemical reaction isn't instantaneous, you know? It has this peak moment of maximum energy and strain right before a bond breaks.
Okay.
So the Zerubose molecule mimics the exact fleeting geometry and electrical charge of the DNA molecule at the precise microsecond that the bond is breaking. By feeding the enzyme this fake transition state, the enzyme binds to it, tries to cut it, and gets permanently stuck mid-reaction.
So it must be like photographing a pole vaulter at the exact second the pole is bent to its absolute limit, rather than when they are sitting on the mat afterward. What does capturing this exact action shot mid-reaction actually reveal?
It reveals the hidden architecture of tension. When an enzyme binds a product analog, it has relaxed. The heavy lifting is done and the internal structures loosen up.
Makes sense.
But the transition state analog forces the enzyme to adopt its most active, strained conformation. It shows you exactly where every single atom needs to be positioned to perform the critical catalytic step.
Wow.
But a static picture, even a perfect one, isn't enough to prove how the machine fails in cancer patients. They had to prove the mutant enzymes were actually broken internally, not just physically falling apart.
Right, so they didn't just stop at the photograph. They turned this into a massive narrative of discovery, using a whole suite of functional profiling tools, like they used inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry, or ICP-MS.
A very cool technique.
Yeah, to literally count the metal atoms and measure the exact iron and zinc content in the mutant proteins.
And then they utilized circular dichroism. Proteins twist polarized light in very specific ways depending on their three-dimensional shape.
Okay.
So by bouncing light off the proteins, they could check if the cancer variants were just melted, unfolded messes, or if they maintained their proper structure.
And once they knew the structural state, they ran bacterial mutation suppression assays to watch the enzymes fail, or succeed, in real time inside living E. coli cells.
Exactly. And to top it all off, they ran intense molecular dynamic simulations. Because a crystal structure is still just a static photograph. Biology is a movie.
Right, it's constantly moving.
Yeah. These supercomputer simulations calculate the Newtonian physics, the pushing and pulling of hundreds of thousands of individual atoms over tiny fractions of a second.
So they have this incredibly detailed dynamic action shot of the human enzyme. What did they find hiding inside that explained the 20 angstrom gap?
Well, by capturing the enzyme in its active state, they unveiled a massive discovery. They exposed an intricate 20 angstrom hydrogen bond network.
A network?
Yeah, it acts as an allosteric bridge, basically a physical communication wire connecting the distant iron sulfur cluster directly to the active site.
That's wild. It's literally a chain of precisely positioned amino acids holding hands across the void of the protein. The study traces the specific path perfectly for us. It starts at a cysteine residue, specifically cis-290, which physically anchors onto the iron-sulfur cluster.
Right, and that cysteine passes a hydrogen bond to an arginine. ARG-241.
Okay, passing the baton.
Exactly. That arginine then reaches across the internal gap and forms a bond with an asparagine, as in 238. And finally, that asparagine forms a critical hydrogen bond with AS-236.
Which is the catalytic aspartate.
Yep. That AS-236 residue is the actual chemical scalpel that performs the base excision, cutting the mismatched adenine out of the DNA strand.
It's a beautifully precise telegraph line. Cysteine to arginine to asparagine to the catalytic aspartate. And this is where mapping the cancer-associated variants onto this structure becomes highly illuminating, right?
Oh, absolutely. They found that most of the disease-causing mutations behave exactly as you expect a broken machine to behave. They completely destroy the metal cluster, lose their iron atoms, and cause the surrounding protein to simply unfold into a useless shape.
The enzyme just falls apart and is quickly degraded by the cell.
Yeah. But the functional profiling revealed astonishing exceptions. Specifically, the cancer variants known as R241Q and N238S. What's fascinating here is that these specific mutant enzymes actually retain their intact iron sulfur clusters.
Why, Yaffe, they keep the cluster.
They do. The circular dichroism showed they maintain their overall three-dimensional shape, and the structural assays prove they grip the damaged DNA just as tightly as the healthy version.
Here's where it gets really interesting. They look completely perfect from the outside, but the bacterial assays show they possess absolutely zero repair activity. They don't fix the DNA at all.
Nothing. Total failure.
It's like a car with a pristine engine, a flawless exterior, and a full tank of gas. But someone snipped the tiny transmission cable connecting the gas pedal to the engine block.
Yeah.
It looks perfect, it sounds perfect when you turn the key, but it's never leaving the driveway.
That's a great way to put it. And the molecular dynamics simulations showed us exactly how that transmission cable snaps.
Mm-hmm.
The R241Q mutation swaps out that critical arginine for a glutamine, and the N238S mutation swaps the asparagine for a serine.
Those are tiny atomic substitutions.
Tiny, but they physically break the hydrogen bond telegraph line. When the connection breaks, the tension is lost. The catalytic ASP-236 at the end of the line loses its precise micrometer-level orientation and its correct electrical charge.
Wow.
So it can no longer perform the chemical cut, even though the rest of the enzyme is holding the DNA perfectly in place.
It is completely dead inside. So we know the transmission cable is snipped in these specific cancer variants. But if snipping this one delicate wire completely kills the enzyme, it feels like a massive design flaw.
It does seem counterintuitive.
Yeah, like why would evolution leave such a critical repair mechanism so incredibly vulnerable? Why was the engine built this way in the first place? Why put the power source or sensory cluster so far away from the cutting tool and rely on a fragile wire?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it tells us that this enzyme isn't just a blind pair of molecular scissors constantly snapping at everything it touches. The allosteric regulation, that distant control mechanism, means the iron sulfur cluster is actually a sophisticated sensory hub listening to the cell's environment.
A sensory hub. So if it's a sensory hub, it must be reacting to something specific. Given that it's a cluster of iron and sulfur atoms, is it reacting to the electrical charge or the oxidation levels floating around in the cell?
The study suggests exactly that mechanism. The oxidation state of the iron-sulfur cluster changes when the cell experiences severe stress. It can actually shift from a 2+ charge to a 3+ charge by losing an electron.
Oh, wow.
And when it oxidizes and loses that electron, the remaining electrons are pulled much tighter to the nucleus. This physically shrinks the volume of the cluster and alters its overall electrical charge.
The cluster physically shrinks.
It does.
And because it's physically tethered to cis-290, which is the start of that hydrogen bond network we talked about, that change in size and charge tugs on the telegraph wire, it sends a mechanical and electrical signal all the way down the line to physically pull that catalytic ASP-236 out of position or push it into position for base excision.
Precisely. It modulates how efficiently the enzyme cuts based on the environment. And this raises a really important question about cellular survival versus cellular death.
How so?
Well, under extreme high cellular oxidative stress, say from massive radiation or chemical exposure, you have catastrophic amounts of DNA damage occurring all at once.
Right.
If MUTYH were to operate at maximum speed, just blindly cutting out every single damaged base simultaneously across the genome, it would create thousands of temporary single-strand breaks in the DNA backbone.
Ah, I see. And too many single-strand breaks happening all at once will literally shred the genome to pieces. The cell senses that its DNA is shredded, which triggers it to undergo apoptosis, or cellular self-destruction.
Exactly. So the oxidation and subsequent shrinking of this iron-sulfur cluster might actually act as an emergency regulatory switch. It intentionally downregulates the repair process to prevent the cell from accidentally shredding its own genome and committing suicide during a temporary stress event.
It is an evolutionary safety valve, balancing the risk of a few lingering mutations against the certainty of immediate cellular death from a fragmented genome. That's incredible.
It really is. But this biological nuance has profound clinical implications. Because this iron-sulfur cluster is so sensitive to its environment, it becomes a structural Achilles heel for the enzyme.
So what does this all mean? Like, how does finding an Achilles heel in a DNA repair enzyme help patients who already have cancer?
It opens up an entirely new avenue for pharmacology. The researchers discuss how small molecules, like an antioxidant compound called TEMPL, can deliberately target and degrade these 4FE4S clusters. You could potentially use these cluster-busting drugs as targeted therapies against certain cancers.
Wait, if this enzyme's entire job is preventing cancer by fixing DNA, why in the world would we want to design a small molecule drug to target its Achilles heel and destroy it? Are we trying to break the very machine keeping cells healthy? That seems completely backwards.
I know, it seems totally counterintuitive until you consider the unique environment inside an established tumor.
Okay.
We're talking about targeting cells that are already cancerous. Cancer cells are highly abnormal. They have sky-high mutation rates and incredible levels of internal oxidative stress just from growing so fast.
Right, they're constantly multiplying.
Yeah, and to survive their own chaotic biology without triggering that apoptosis self-destruct sequence we talked about, these tumors become entirely dependent on their remaining DNA repair mechanisms. They need MUTYH working perfectly just to keep their highly mutated genomes barely stitched together enough to replicate.
Ah, I see. So the cancer cells are basically walking a genetic tightrope without a safety net. Healthy cells have low stress and multiple backup repair systems. But if we step in with a drug like TEMPL and deliberately destroy the MUTYH iron sulfur cluster specifically in a tumor, we push the cancer cells off the tightrope.
Exactly. The cancer cells accumulate fatal levels of damage instantly and die, while the surrounding healthy cells can easily tolerate the temporary loss of the enzyme.
Because they have backups and aren't stressed.
You've got it. You are intentionally breaking a survival tool that the tumor desperately relies on, a concept known as synthetic lethality. Understanding the precise atomic details of this 20 angstrom communication wire doesn't just explain why certain inherited mutations cause MAP in colorectal cancer.
It gives us a highly detailed topological map to build targeted pharmacological weapons against already established tumors.
Exactly.
So to sum it all up, the 4FE4S cluster in the human MUTYH enzyme is not merely a structural anchor keeping the protein folded, but a dynamic environment-sensing communication hub. By maintaining a delicate hydrogen bond network spanning across the vastness of the enzyme, it regulates the active site to execute crucial DNA repair.
Yeah, and cancer-causing mutations can sever this microscopic wire, leaving an enzyme that binds perfectly to DNA but completely fails to fix it.
Which really leaves you asking, what does this mean for the future of targeted cancer therapies that might exploit these microscopic communication lines?
It's a huge frontier.
And it leaves you wondering too, if extreme oxidative stress naturally disrupts this iron-sulfur cluster to downregulate repair and force a highly damaged cell to die, are some of these cancer variants simply hijacking an ancient evolutionary self-destruct mechanism to keep tumors alive against all odds? Something to think about.
It definitely is.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base. Under kawaii lies in steady hands, I trace the scratch across the strands. A single letter out of place, a quiet thread inside the lace. There's a spark in the metal, a pulse in the dark. A hidden roof for a message to R. From iron bell silence to acid and flame. One tiny switch that remembers the name. Hold the line, let it carry the news. Iron
cluster to the gut, back to me and you. Some changes don't shatter. Of touch sets the faithful free.